Here's a question. Why is it that folks won't get baptized? What hinders people's baptism? Why is it? A lot of folks are not doing it, and the question is, why are they not doing it? I think it's amazing the way the Bible's put together. Grab that pew Bible in front of you and open up to Acts chapter 8. We're not going to spend a lot of time in this chapter, but there are some amazing things. There's a man riding along in his chariot, and he's reading the Bible, and all of a sudden, unbeknownst to him, a stranger walks up. We know the stranger's name is Philip, and he runs up to the man in the chariot, and he says, and by the way, the man in the chariot is a high political official from Ethiopia. He is, to use modern day terminology, he's the Secretary of Treasury of the Ethiopian government. You think of all the riches of Ethiopia back in that ancient day, and all the gold that was there, and all the great treasure there was there, and you're Secretary of Treasury. And can you imagine a total stranger walking up to some high political official and he's reading? He said, "You understand what you're reading?" What an amazing question to ask. Now the man in the chariot, the Ethiopian, says, "I need some help. I'm reading this book, and how can I understand what this is all about except somebody shows me?" Now here's what he was reading, and you know this verse. You know the verse that was there whenever he says in verse 32, "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." And he's looked at this and he's perplexed by it, especially when the next verse talks about in his humiliation, justice was taken away from him. And who will declare his generation? In other words, that's the hen who doesn't have any children, doesn't have any descendants. And then he says, "For his life is taken from the earth." Here, all of a sudden, we're not talking about sheep. We're talking about a man who is like a lamb that is silent, and a sheep that is silent. And all of a sudden, he says, "His life is taken from the earth." And the Secretary of Treasury of Ethiopia says, "Who's this talking about? I'm reading Isaiah. Is Isaiah talking about himself, or is he talking about somebody else?" Now Philip says, "I'll tell you who that is." And beginning at that very same scripture, he talked to him about Jesus. Now you could have done that, couldn't you? You could have taken this about the sheep and about the lamb and the one whose life was taken from this earth and had no justice in the time when he died. And you could have explained to him, well, that verse is talking about Jesus. Ethiopian didn't know it. Secretary of Treasury, with all of the education and the genius that he might have had, he could not figure it out. Now then, here's the amazing part. He's talking to him about Jesus, and they're riding down to the road, and the Bible says they came to some water. That's remarkable, isn't it? They're riding along, and they're in a deserted area, and there's some water. And the Secretary of Treasury says, "Can I be baptized?" Isn't that odd? He's been talking to him about Jesus. He's been talking to him about Jesus, and somebody said, "What on earth did Jesus have to do with baptism? I thought he was telling about the virgin birth, and I thought he was talking about all of these matters and about his death and about his resurrection." Well, if you're going to talk about Jesus, you've got to talk about that. But the astounding thing is, and that's why this lesson is so important, if you're going to talk about Jesus, it's got to lead people to the decision, "I need to be baptized." And so the man said, "Could I be baptized? What hinders me? Is there anything that could keep me from being baptized?" See, that's the question we're talking about this morning. What is it that keeps folks from being baptized today? Here's a man riding into the chariot, and he says, "I want to do this. What's going to keep me from doing this?" And Philip said, "If you believe, you can, if you believe in the Lord." And the man said, "I believe in the Lord Jesus." And they stopped the chariot, and both of the men got out of the chariot, and both of the men went down into the water, and he baptized him. I remember hearing a story where somebody said, "Who baptized who? You know, who's the he and who's the him? He baptized him." And let me give you an illustration. A long-haired hippie and a bald-headed barber went into the barber shop, and he cut his hair. I can't figure out who cut whose hair. Well, I can. It's the guy who needed the haircut. And I'll tell you who got baptized. It's the guy who needed to be baptized. And so he gets down in the water and he is baptized. Now, let's go back and set a background. And this sermon, homiletically and the way you outline sermon, does not fit in any sermon exercise book. David, I looked at it. There are 2 points, and each of them has 10 sub-points, and that's not the way to present a sermon. So this is different. You probably won't remember a thing about this lesson other than the bald-headed barber and the long-haired hippie. But see if you can grab some of this. Where does matter of baptism come from? Baptism is not an Old Testament subject. I want you to stop and think about it. Now, there were some times when a man who had had leprosy or a man who had become ceremonially unclean would take water and wash his body. But that's not what baptism is all about. Baptism is a New Testament subject. And, whenever Jesus asked the disciples, now this baptism that John the Baptist did, was it from heaven or from men? It's something that John, that sort of started. It all starts with John. You still got your Bible? Turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3 says, in those days, all of a sudden, here's John the Baptist. And by the way, the word Baptist means a baptizer. And many translations will call him, instead of John the Baptist, John the Baptizer. In those days, John the Baptizer, as opposed to some other John the Baptizer came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he quotes from the Bible, or this affirmation is made about him. He is the one the Old Testament talked about. He'd be a man, a voice crying out in the wilderness saying, the Lord is coming, prepare the way of the Lord. And John himself is out there in that wilderness, got garments made of camel's hair, leather belt about him, and he's eating locusts and wild honey. And look at the next verse. Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions round about the Jordan went out to him, and they were baptized of John. What happened? Now, the Jordan, we understand. In fact, Mark describes it as the Jordan River. It's not Jordan, the geographical place. You know, there's a country called Jordan today. We're not talking about the Jordan. We're talking about the Jordan River. And the account over in Mark uses the word river in connection with this. And they're going out to the river, and what's happening to them? Well, if you were reading Greek, you would read, he's baptizoing them. Does that sound like an English word to you? Oh, yeah. He's baptizing them. Now, see, here's our problem is, here's this Greek word that has a New Testament meaning, and we have a secular meaning that's come about since that first century. The word baptizo, and I don't forget, you don't have to remember this, okay? The word baptism comes from the word bapto, which describes what happens to a ship when it sinks. You know what happens to a ship when it sinks? It's out in the water, and down it goes. Now, this is what John was doing. These people were coming out to John, to the Jordan River, and John was putting them under the water. Wow. How different is that from anything that had ever happened? I'll tell you this. Look at verse 5 and verse 6 says, that Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions of Jordan went out to him and were baptized for him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Look what happened. Here these individuals are coming, and how widespread was it? Well, look at it. All of Jerusalem and all of Judea and all of those regions out in that area, they went out, they were baptized of John. John's work was primarily down in Judea, not up in Galilee, but down in Judea. And now he's having this unbelievable impact, and the whole city is coming out except for some of those religious leaders. And you'll see that as you read the testimony. You want to turn over 2 books or 3 books to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 7 talks about the baptism of John, and Jesus himself is the one speaking. John chapter 7 verse 29 and verse 30. I said John, I meant to say Luke. Luke chapter 7, verse 29 and verse 30. Jesus is talking about John the Baptist, and he says, when he went out in the wilderness, what did you go out? Did you go out to see a man in soft garments? You go out to see some sort of an effeminate-looking, wishy-washy person out? No. You went out there, there's a man that's wearing camel's hair. I don't know what garments made of camel's hair would feel like, but I sure am glad, you know, for polyester and cotton and all this other new material. Camel's hair, he's not a man that's soft out there. He was not gorgeously apparel. He says, those who are gorgeously appareled, they live in luxury and in the king's court. I'm reading from verse 25. When he went out in the wilderness, what did you go out to see? You went out to see a prophet. He said, I'm telling you, you saw more than a prophet. You sent one of the greatest prophets that God ever sent on this earth. And of all of those, all the prophets there's ever been, there's never been one than John the Baptist. That's who you went out to see. And then that's in verse 28. He says, among those born of women, there's not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he who's least in the kingdom, he's greater than John, for the kingdom had not yet been established, obviously. And when all the people heard him, when they heard John, even the tax collectors justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John. Now, what's happened? Well, here are the low-class people. Here are the people that are despised. The tax collectors and all of the people, but even the tax collectors. And so, what about the religious leader? Not interested in it. Here's a common man. Those in Jerusalem and Judea and the parts about Jordan, they went out and they were baptized. But, look at verse 30, here's the Pharisees, religious leaders, here's the lawyers, those who studied not civil law, but studied the Old Testament law. They rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by Him. Hello? How important was it for people to be baptized? It was the will of God. And when they rejected being baptized, they rejected God's will for their lives. That's how important this baptism of John was. But whenever Jesus begins His work, John chapter 4 verse 2 said, He baptized even more disciples than John did. Jesus had a profound impact on that limited area that was in that part of the world. Look in the last chapter of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28. In fact, turn to the last three verses of Matthew chapter 28. Jesus is about ready to ascend into heaven. Now get this, Jesus' work has been primarily over there in Palestine, in Canaan, in the Promised Land, as we sometimes refer to that area. And He's had a profound impact. But now, right before He ascends into heaven, He says, all authority, Matthew 28, 18, are you there? All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. You go therefore and you make disciples of all nations. Hello? It's not just John baptized in Judea, Jerusalem, and parts about Jordan. It's not just Jesus in that promised land baptizing only Jews. Now you take this and you take it to all of the nations in the world. You go make disciples. Well, how do you make a disciple? Well, you teach them and you baptize them. And He says, you go and disciple them, baptizing them and teaching them. What are you going to teach them? You teach them to observe everything that I have commanded you. Okay, you're one of the apostles. You're one of those disciples that say, what's your work? What do you want you to do? Well, you've been baptized. Some of you were baptized by John. And now you've been following me all of these years. I'm about ready to go back into heaven. And you're one of the apostles. And He says, here's what I want you to do. Go carry this message to all the world. And when you go out, you make them disciples. You make them followers of me. And you baptize them. That man in the chariot, why was he baptized? Because of this very verse right here. Because Jesus is leaving the earth and He's got a message to give to all mankind. And He says, now you go and you, and Philip, this is not Philip, the one of the apostles in Acts chapter 8. It's another Philip, but he's a second generation Christian to sort of refer to him in that way. And he's just doing what the Lord said. Because you see, the Lord says, whatever I have commanded you to do, you go teach those people to do that same thing. Tyrone, let me use you as an illustration. I'm going to point at you when I said an apostle a while ago, probably Judas, but here's Tyrone. Tyrone, you're one of the apostles. I'll let you be Andrew, okay? And so you go out, you're going to do what Jesus, and you meet this pagan over here called Grant. And so you want to make a disciple of Grant. What's Jesus say? You teach him and you baptize him. And you teach Grant to do what Jesus taught you to do. What are you going to teach Grant to do? You want to teach Grant, here are two pagans right up here in front of you, okay? Grant, you need to come up here and baptize these two pagans up here. But you need to teach them to teach the next generation. Do you see how eternal that makes this commandment? Do you understand why baptism is still current in our day? Do you understand why it's important for us in our day to have an understanding about this matter of baptism? Why is it here? Why is it still here? Because Jesus, when he left this earth, his words made it to be here. It's got to be here. Because every generation is to teach the next generation, to teach the next generation, to teach the next generation. And however many generations there have been since that first century, we're still in that chain. We're still in that loop. Need to be baptized. And so you need to understand that here is the amazing part of it. Now then, you do it because Jesus told you to do it. Leave Matthew and go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, there's a time, the first time there was a massive number of people baptized after Jesus ascended into heaven. And so he told these, I'm going back to heaven, you go teach the nations. And so in Acts chapter 2, there's multitudes, perhaps as many as a couple of million people in Jerusalem that day who hear this preaching of the sermon. And that day, verse 41 says, 3,000 of them were baptized. Why were they baptized? Well, get in mind, just 40, 50 days before, they were shouting out, crucify him, crucify him. And Peter gets up and he says, listen, he's been raised from the dead. And the fact we're speaking in languages you understand and that you're seeing this fire that's above us, that's evidence that he's in heaven. He really ascended in heaven. And they said, we killed the Son of God. What shall we do? Verse 37, they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And he says, you repent and be baptized, every one of you. Look at the next phrase. In the name of Jesus. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Isn't that amazing? What you got to do? Well, why do you have to do it? Because the Son of God said you have to do it. The authority behind baptism is not some church authority. It's not some idea that some theologian in some seminary has thought up. Just like the baptism of John was not from men, it came from heaven, so the baptism that goes from one pagan to another, to another, to another, four generations here in this auditorium in our illustration, when you've got that situation, it's us. Why do we baptize people? Because Jesus said, do it. You do something in the name of another, you do it because they told you to do it. You know, Mama said for you to come home right now. You ever hear that when your brothers and sisters, and it was time to eat dinner and they sent out an older brother and sister? Mama said you got to come. If they'd just come out, if that child had come out, that bigger brother or sister had come out and said, time to come home, you'd said, who are you? Well, when they said, Mama said, and I'm telling you, whenever the Bible says Jesus said it, there's the authority of heaven behind of, and it's for all mankind, even for those down in Ethiopia. That's why that man was baptized. And as we'll point out, it is the end of the road to salvation. We'll talk about this a little bit more in just a minute. But you and I need to understand it. It's a part of this salvation effort. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, we killed the Son of God. What are we going to do about it? There's two things you need to do about it. You already believe in Jesus, but if you believe in Jesus, you need to repent. You need to change what? Change your attitude, change your heart, change your mind, and you need to be baptized for the remission of sins. You kill the Son of God. You want God to deal with your sins? Then you need to do two things. You need to repent, and you need to be baptized for the remission of your sin. And that's why that day, 3,000 of them obeyed the gospel. And the Bible, verse 47 of Acts chapter 2 said, guess what happened the next day? There were some others who did what happened the day before and the day after that and the day after that and the day after that. And you know what they became? They were added to the church. Where does the church of Christ come from? It comes from folks listening to this book, doing what this book says, and they don't join it. The Lord adds them. And that very day, they became a part of that church of Christ. Yet, the man in the chariot says, what hinders me? The lesson today is, what hinders others? That's 10 points. We've got to hurry. You ready? 10 things that keep people from being baptized. 10 comments. Number one, some do not know of its importance. Why are folks not baptized? Because they haven't been taught the importance of it. Can I quote some verses that discuss the importance of baptism? Now, if I were going to talk about verses about the importance of faith, I'd quote verses about faith, wouldn't I? If I'm going to talk about verses about the importance of repentance, I'd quote verses about repentance. And the fact that faith is important or the fact that repentance is important does not mean that baptism is not important. So whenever we begin looking at this, we need to understand we're asking about what importance does the Bible give to baptism? Well, look at Mark 16:16. Jesus says, go make disciples not just of nations but of every creature, every person on this earth. And then he says, you go preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16:15. And verse 16 he says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Do you understand that? Is that difficult to understand? Can you figure that out? He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Who's the he that's going to be saved? If I said, he who believes and is baptized will receive a brand new Lamborghini. For those who are younger, it's a real, real nice Cadillac, okay? He who believes and is baptized shall receive $100,000. You figure that out? Who gets $100,000? Who gets the car? Well, it's very simple. It's as simple as 1 + 1 = 2. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. You know, there are some people that don't know that. There are some people that think that he who believes and is not baptized will be saved. And I'm telling you, the road we're headed down is the road that says by some, he who doesn't even believe can be saved. I'm not sure what the Pope meant. What was it, about 3 months ago? That he talked about good Muslims who live by their code, that they'd be saved. I don't know where he's coming from in that. I don't know where Jesus is coming from. Jesus says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Well, somebody says, that sounds like you're saying that if a man's going to be saved, he's got to be baptized. No, no, no. You weren't listening. That's not what I said. That's what Jesus said. Don't make a difference what I said. But when the Son of God, the judge of the world, is going to open these books and we're going to be judged by the things written in this book, and there it is, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And folks do not know about it. That's one of the reasons some are not baptized. And we need to understand that even some who've heard talking about baptism, there are some who've never even heard anything at all about it. I remember a religious denomination that was in New Zealand. I spent nearly 10 years in New Zealand. There's a religious denomination there that never had baptism. And I said, why don't you do it? And they said, well, we just enlist people into the Lord's army. Okay. But Jesus didn't say, he who believes and enlists shall be saved. Jesus put that in the Bible. Who took it out? And you and I need to understand that some have not heard. And that's why we have these missionaries going in various places. And we need to understand that. There's some never even been taught to be baptized. Talking about some who would view themselves as Christian. And you'd go there all of your life and you never one time would hear discussion of the words of Jesus. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And then there's a parallel to that, and all these first three points sort of overlap. That is, some folks have been taught wrong. That's why folks have not been baptized. That's why they're not people that are saying, stop the chariot. I need to get in this water, and I need you to immerse me. Need that to happen. You see, some have been taught wrong. Some were baptized, and they had no faith. Gorman, you were baptized, what, 5 years ago? April the 15th. Why do I remember April the 15th and tax day in connection with Gorman? I'm not sure. Gorman was baptized. Gorman and I were talking, and he said, I was baptized when I was a baby. I said, are you sure? And he even brought me a certificate that had Gorman's name on it. It didn't take, by the way. But anyway, he said, I was baptized as an infant. And I said, you remember it? No, I don't remember anything about it. Well, how do you know? Well, my mama and my daddy get... Did your mama and daddy never lie to you about anything else? In this time of the year, I'm not going to say anything about it. But you understand, how do you know? And all of a sudden, even Gorman's head started working. You see, what hinders me to be baptized is the fact you don't believe. That's Acts chapter 8. That's where this whole thing started. Riding in the chair, and he said, can I be baptized? If you believe, you can. Little babies cannot believe. Now, furthermore, they don't need to be baptized because they don't have any sins to be baptized to have the remission of sins. But there are people who are baptized who don't believe. And there are people who are baptized who don't repent. I've heard of individuals who got baptized because somebody dared them to do it. I dare you to go down and be baptized. They didn't repent. I've heard of people being baptized so they could marry somebody else. You know, some sweet little young lady in the church trying to convert a boyfriend or something like that. Well, I'll marry you if you become a member of the church. Did he change his life? Nope, not at all. You know, he was a dry sinner when he went down, a wet sinner when he came up. No repentance. That's why Acts 2:38 said to those people who are saying, crucify him, crucify him. You need, in the name of Jesus, to repent. If you're going to have the remission of sins, you got to change. Before they were baptized, weeks before they were shouting out, crucify him, crucify him. And now they're baptized, and 2 weeks later they're crying out, crucify him, crucify him. What was wrong? No repentance. No repentance is involved. And so the point we're trying to make is some need to be baptized a second time. Why? It didn't take. The baptism, it wasn't what God had in mind. Baptism that you read out of the Bible is where you're taught about Jesus and you believe in Jesus and you decide, because Jesus is the Son of God, I'm going to change my life and turn my life over to the Lord. It's interesting. In Acts chapter 19, and we don't have time to discuss it publicly, I'd be glad to talk with you after service today about it privately. Here's some people that were baptized a second time. Why? Because they needed to. That's exactly why. And just because somebody has been baptized, these people, by the way, had been immersed. Oh, and by the way, the whole practice of infant baptism is not baptism at all. Baptism is where two individuals go down into the water and he immerses him. That's why the Bible says we are buried with him in baptism, Romans chapter 6, verse 4. It's a burial in water. It's not just some action where you sprinkle. If you know how to bury a dog, you know how to bury a person. And if you had a dog to bury, you never would sprinkle some dirt on its head and said, Mama, I buried the dog. You'd be in trouble with Mama. And I'm telling you, when God says you bury somebody in baptism, you better bury them. That's what baptism is all about. Some are lost because they don't know they're lost. What hinders some? I'm good enough just as I am. I'm good enough just as I am. I'm a whole lot better than a lot of folks go to church every time the doors are open. I'm good enough as I am. That's tragic. That's tragic. How many sins did it take in this world for death and separation from God in the Garden of Eden? How many sins did Adam and Eve have to commit? And how terrible were those sins? You know, were they out, you know, to use modern terminology, you know, and I know it's an impossibility, were they committing adultery, and were they lying, and were they doing all sorts of immoral things? Were they cursing? Were they profaning? Were they blaspheming God? All they did was they took some fruit off of a tree and ate of it. I'm good enough just as I am. Folks, the God of heaven says, it is not by works of your own righteousness that you're saved. That's self-righteousness. And then it says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen, the person who says, I'm good enough as I am, is boasting about his goodness. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10 says, it is not of works, lest any man should boast. God is going to stop you from boasting about your salvation. It's not of your own moral goodness. It's a matter of His grace. And some people just don't know they're lost. And then some are not baptized because they think, I'm going to do it someday. I'm going to do it someday. Is that you? Someday. Wait a minute. There's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I didn't hear someday. No. There's no day someday. And the only assurance you have of any life is this very moment. And all of the tragedy there is, when you watch the television, read the newspaper, the tragedy that's there, your life can be snuffed out. Think of the number of people in the last 2 weeks whose life have ended just tragically, one after another. People flying in an airplane in Hawaii, people, you know, at a football game and coming out into the parking lot. I don't know if those three guys that got stabbed, I don't know if they died or not. Same kind of illustration I'm talking about. Person walking into a store with a gun, walking into a workplace. You really think you have someday out there? There's no such day as someday. You see, that's why it's people. Some are not baptized. And tragically, some folks are just so stubborn. That's it, folks. You come face to face with the God of heaven. The God of heaven says, This is what I want you to do. And for whatever reason, you say, I'm not going to do it. Folks, that is stubborn rebellion. You think God's going to let stubborn, rebellious people into heaven if they don't change? I want you to stop and think about it. Sometimes our first knowledge of what our Heavenly Father is like is what our earthly father was like. You ever try to stand up against your dad and he tells you to do something, son, I want you to go do it right now. And you said, I am not going to do it. I know what happened in your house. I know what happened in the house I grew up in. And by the way, my earthly father is nothing like my heavenly father. And the heavenly father's, that stubbornness, rebellion, is as the sin of witchcraft. You going to go to heaven when you're stubborn and rebellious against God and God says, this is what I want you to do, and you say, I'm not going to do it. See, that's that final question, and that is, what about you? Have you been baptized? There's some here who need to be baptized. There are people here in this audience right now who've heard the gospel preached, who've heard those who have sat at the feet of those who wrote this book and who sat at the feet of those individuals who were taught by them. And on it goes. And the Church of Jesus is still on this earth pleading with people to do what they did in Bible times, going into all the world and telling every creature, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And I'm not going to change it for anybody, because I will be judged by my faithfulness in preaching this very lesson, and you will be judged eternally by your response to it. Baptism is important. You better believe it is. We have a Baptist behind the screen. We have clothing here. You could be baptized this very day. You could have walked into this building laden with sin. And when you arise and you're baptized, and the blood of Jesus will wash away all of the sins you've ever committed, provided you believe and provided you repent. Because you see, that's His plan. His plan for our obedience is to believe in Him, to repent, and like the man of the chariot, to confess that you believe in Him. Look at those verses, to believe in Him, Mark 16:16, to repent, Acts 17:30, God commands all men everywhere to repent. Romans 10:9, if you'll confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth, you'll be saved. And to be baptized, Acts 22:16 says, what are you waiting on? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name. And when you do it, guess what happens? He adds you to that church, the church of Christ, the one that was there in the first century. You'd be a first century Christian if you'll just do what they did, live like they did, believe what they believe, and serve the Lord the way they follow the Lord. That's what the church is. No doctrines made up by men, no additions, nothing left out, just Christians. And then he says to those of us who've done that, don't you get air back up. You be faithful until the day you die, and I'll give you the crown of life. If you're lost right now, there's a time for you to make a decision. And the song of invitation that we are about to sing is this church, the redeemed of God, saying to those of you who have not been washed in the blood of Jesus, you need to be washed in His blood today. And that decision is called repentance. And with all of my heart, because of an eternity that lies before me and one that lies before you, I beg you to repent and to be baptized for the remission of your sins. If we can help you go to heaven, won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?